This morning's gospel reading is a parable, and let us remember that a parable in its initial form was basically left with no ending, and the ending was supposed to be something that they write, something that you yourself came to realize because of the inspiration that God offers you. And so listen to this parable against the backdrop of what I suggested is our theme, kind of a theme for today. It's on the front of the bulletin that in patience is our hope. Okay. This from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. And so the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him his debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' And then this fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay what I owe.' But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay his debt. Now when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their lord, all that had taken place. And then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have done or had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother and sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Sounds like a pretty horrible situation we have here. Let me remind us that, you know, parables, as I said before, were supposed to be unending. And so this little thing at the bottom, the moral of the story, probably is something that is added. I also think, and this is my personal thing, is that the second part of the story where this fellow slave who's been forgiven goes out and finds another person who is forgiven and yet who owes him money and yet he throws him in prison and doesn't pass on the same mercy is probably an addition or an embellishment of a reality that the early church community was going through. I believe the parable in itself was the one about the slave who owed the owner, the king, who is forgiven because he pleads for mercy and he is given mercy. And the ending of the saying of Jesus, or the saying of Jesus, is you must learn to forgive your brother and sister from your heart. That being said, I think what the church offers us today by using this whole passage together is a reflection on how we deal with pain. Consider some of the pain you have had in your life that may have been inflicted or come from another person. Whether it's in the community, in your family, wherever it happens to be, that pain is very, very real. And it's very wonderful for some pious person to come along where you're in the depths of that pain and say, "Well, you know, the best thing you can do is forgive." The reality is that there's something much more profound about those experiences that calls us to understand what, in fact, Jesus is talking about and what his life was all about. I give you these thoughts. It would seem that most of the things that we have among ourselves, where there is difficulty or challenge or pain, spring from the fact that we are evolutionary creatures who are going through still the process, the evolutionary process, of coming to a place where life can be different. Now, from our animal instincts, we know in our very basic rudimentary psychology that when we are threatened in any way, or when we are overpowered in any way, or somehow made accused or accused of something in any way by someone else or faced by some other force, we have what psychologists call and anthropologists call the fight-flight response. That means you either, from the basic need, you will respond to it by fleeing the situation altogether, or you will stand there and fight back. That's basic. We all go through that every time we are tense about something. We kick in with the fight flight. What that translates into in terms of dealing with some of the situations that we find ourselves facing, especially those put upon us by other people, is a question of either run away or retaliate. Now, we live in a world where retaliation seems to be the way we handle most things, which is basically fight flight. Retaliation, brothers and sisters, is nothing more than taking the pain that I am feeling and projecting it back on the person I think is responsible for the pain, or projecting that pain onto myself. In either case, all we have done is continued the cycle of pain. Pain begets pain, begets pain, begets pain. Pain begets pain, begets pain, begets pain. It's an endless circle. And so we are trapped in that kind of overwhelmed feeling of being a victim. How do we go from victim to something more than that? One of the other possible responses we have to this kind of pressure, this kind of struggle, is to take responsibility for the whole thing ourselves. And so we can blame ourselves and absorb the guilt and absorb all the pain that is there. And unless it gets resolved, we end up projecting that pain on other people and other places, in places where it doesn't belong. And so our response to what is going on within ourselves ends up becoming the projectiles of our lives. The only other option is found in the word forgive. Forgiveness basically says, I am choosing now not to make pain for pain, but I am choosing to live the pain and allow with patience the transformation of that pain into something better. Forgiveness is a process. Forgiveness does not eradicate reality. Forgiveness does not excuse. Forgiveness is a choice I make to handle the pain that I carry in a way that will not poison the world around me, nor poison me, but allow the gradual healing process. Now, it has been said, and I don't know who said it, but we all know this, the old saying, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Cute saying. But the reality is, there is nothing in our human nature, brothers and sisters, nothing in our basic human nature that would ever bring us out of the fight flight, out of retaliation, into a stance of forgiveness. It is only when we rise above the reality and reach out for something better, bigger, more open, more promising, then forgiveness can take place. We in the Christian tradition call that grace. We call it the openness to God that allows something to happen that our human reality and our human nature is unable to accomplish by itself. Left to our druthers, we see it in our world. Left to our druthers, we just retaliate and we do power plays and we do wars and we behead people and we use all the reasons in the world, including God, as the reasons why we do it. To end the cycle, the only way to end the cycle is for me to open up to what I know as the reality of God's presence and allow God to work with me and change it. Transform that pain into something else. We have a saying in psychology, you can't heal what you don't feel. If you don't feel the pain, if you don't somehow embrace the pain, you cannot heal it. That means we have to own it. That means we have to admit and acknowledge it is present. We have to understand what it is doing to us as an individual. And yet we choose to do something more. The healing process demands patience. Because we believe, do we not? We say we do. And we say it certainly in sacrament, that God is love. And everyone who abides in God abides in love. Everyone who abides in love abides in God. It is the presence and the power of love that we experience and extend to one another that is the power of God with us, working with us, whether it's in our marriages, our friendships, our relationships of any kind, or our extending of ourselves into the world. Any expression of love is the experience of God. If we don't believe that, then there's no such thing as God, as a loving God. If we do, however, accept that there is a loving God, every expression of love we have in our lives is an experience of God. And the truth is this, brothers and sisters, love that has not borne pain and suffered through the pain of life cannot be real love. Unless we have suffered for the sake of another, unless we have embraced the struggle and struggled with it, our love cannot be real. And the truth is, forgiveness that has not gone through struggle is not forgiveness. It may be putting it off to later. It may be burying it someplace. It may be making it another agenda. But forgiveness that has not suffered is not forgiveness. That's what I believe this gospel story is saying. And I believe it because Paul writes about Jesus. And this is the whole thing about redemption, which doesn't really click so much for me. But Paul says, he came to be one like us in all things. He took upon himself our pain, our struggle, our suffering, and because he carried it in the cross and gave himself into it, we are people who have the healing presence of God and eternal life. That's what he came to do. Why is that so monumental? Because alone, think of it as a mountain. And we need to get to the other side of the mountain. Humanity cannot get to the top of that mountain and get to the other side. What Jesus did in his life basically was to cut a path right through. There is a way out of our pain. There is a way out of the horrors of our lives. There is a way from victimhood to victor. to conqueror, to power person, to lover. And Jesus has showed us that way. And so even though we have here an illustration in the second instance of one who is forgiven but unable to pass it on to someone else, and so he continues the circle of violence, Jesus did give us the first. There was a person of great power who was owed a great deal, and because the person asked for mercy, he was forgiven, period. Unless you and I learn to forgive ourselves and our brothers and sisters from the heart, which is the workshop of God, from our heart, we do not know forgiveness. And so we are locked, left to our own devices, to our humanity, just to continue the patterns that we know. This is not one gospel of condemnation, but I think, brothers and sisters, this gospel passage is all about hope, because in it, the very things that may overwhelm us may be the very things that God is using to bring us that hope. May patience strengthen your hope. And may the love of God move each of us to a place of true love and forgiveness. Amen.